When your words came, I did eat them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Jeremiah 15:16. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 9, verse 32. Romans chapter 9, verse 32. One of the great blessings of life is to receive the impartation and dissemination of God's wonderful Word. And that's our reason for being here again today, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we begin our study, we bow for just a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunities which You give us in life, most of all today. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we express our deep thanks for the fact that the Scripture teaches us that if we admit our faults and failures and sins, that You'll forgive us and cleanse us, and that we can be in right relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful today for all the wonderful blessings, especially today. We're thankful for the opportunity to study Your Word, to advance spiritually. We pray that we will realize how serious this matter is, how important it is for us to commit ourselves afresh and anew to receiving the mind of Jesus Christ so that we can be fruitful, victorious, abundant, triumphant believers. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is by faith. Romans 9:31. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, human self-righteousness, has not attained it. Romans 9:32. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but, as it were, by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Romans 9:33. As it is written in Isaiah 8:14. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. Nevertheless, this stone causes the unbelieving Jew to stumble. The failure of Israel to accept Jesus Christ as ruler and Messiah is taught in the passage of Scripture which I've just read, Romans 9:30-33. If you would break that Scripture down with me, let me look at it. What then shall we say? Which means, to what conclusion are we forced? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, in other words, they didn't have the Mosaic law, have obtained it, righteousness, a righteousness that is by faith, which means God's imputed perfect righteousness through faith. But reading on, but Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, human self-righteousness, has not attained it, has not accomplished the purpose of the law. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumble over the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written in Isaiah, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men, unbelievers, to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, that rouses opposition. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. There are two spiritual buildings in history, Israel and the church. Those who are part of the superstructure of either of those two buildings, believers, the Scripture says, will never be disappointed, regardless of whether they are winning believers or losing believers. God's plan in every dispensation, including the age of Israel and the church age, begins with faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That salvation can never be lost, canceled, or reversed. Jesus Christ in hypostatic union as the chief cornerstone is the foundation of these two invisible buildings. The church as a building is in the process of construction at this very moment. When the rapture or resurrection of the body of Christ occurs, the church will become a spiritual temple for all eternity. Israel also has Jesus Christ as its foundation. But because Israel rejected Jesus Christ at the first advent, the construction of Israel has been halted. When the church is removed one of these days, this construction will resume with the believers of the tribulation and the millennium. At the end of the millennium, those who are part of Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. All of this you already know, but at the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. But at Pentecost, He became the foundation of the church. I think it's worth me repeating that. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. But at Pentecost, He became the foundation of the church. During the church age, Israel has a foundation, but an incomplete superstructure. We all know this, that in God's grace, God gave the Jews an additional 40 years after Pentecost to get into this new superstructure, the church. But they didn't. After that, the Jews came under the fifth cycle of discipline when Titus and the legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem, scattered the Jews, 70 A.D. During that grace period, they were warned by the temporary gift of tongues of impending discipline. Do you know anything about the purpose of tongues? A legitimate, bona fide spiritual gift? I trust you do. It's a magnificent study. And even to study what has taken place for the purpose of tongues, and then the reason for the tongues gift being moved off the stage of history. And the reason for that, I think all of us here understand it. Today, Jews are no longer to look to Jerusalem, but to Jesus. Believing Jews of today become a part of the church, not Israel. They become a part of the royal family of God forever. All of us are familiar with the different types of Jews. We talk about racial Jews. We talk about religious Jews. We talk about regenerate Jews, which is not a good way to say it, but it's okay. Racial Jews, of course, emphasizes those who are from the race. Religious Jews are those who may or may not be of the race who choose the biblical or non-biblical concepts. And regenerate Jews emphasizes the fact that there are those who are racial or religious who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. So they're no longer classified as Jews, just like we are classified as born-again members of the royal family. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about his brethren who were unsaved. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they would be saved." I just somehow feel the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul as I read those words in Romans 10. He says, "I can testify about them. They have a zeal for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." I don't think it could be any plainer than that. There's no reason for me to comment because it's plain within itself. It says, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Now, I don't know whether I should do this or not, but I really haven't exegeted the verse, and I've gotten down now to point 9, and I have 20 points, and so I want to enjoy giving the rest of these, but let me just spend a little time exegeting. If you'll notice on the screen, on the back of your bulletin, it says, because not of faith, but as of works. What's amazing to me is that we have in the Greek a strong negative adverb. It is the negative adverb ouk. We have, first of all, the word that we translate why, which is dia, t, hoti, ouk, ek, pistos. Why? Because not of faith. I got so excited about this word faith, if you'll notice I mistranslated it. I put it on the screen twice. It doesn't belong there but once. But that's okay. Because not of faith. But, conjunction of contrast, but as of works. The word works is an interesting word also in the Greek. Ergon, from which we get our English word energy. There are a lot of people who put forth a lot of energy in relationship to the things that don't really mean a whole lot. If they're trying to work their way to heaven. Whatever they're trying to do, they're making a serious mistake. These individuals, Paul says, that because it's not a faith, but it's because of their trying to accomplish God's plan by their own human efforts, by their own deeds, by their own works. It's never done that way. And then the last part of this, Romans 9:32 says, they stumbled at the stone of stumbling. What I have not done yet is exegete for you that word stumble. What I'd like to do is to give you, before I go to point 9 again, this little background. Righteousness has always been by grace through faith and the result of God's working, not man's efforts. Let me say it this way. Righteousness has always been by grace through faith and not the result of the works of any individual. Because if it were, we would have something about which to boast. Israel failed to follow the prototype. If you really want to find the foundation of this, you have to go all the way back to Genesis 15:6, where it says, Abraham laid down the template by which one attains God's perfect righteousness. What does Genesis 15:6 say? Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. These individuals, it says, they stumble. Let's stop on the word stumble. We've not looked at it. It's a compound word, pros, which means face to face. Or we could say to or against. And kopto, which means to strike out. It means literally to strike against. And so to dash against something as one's foot against a stone. Proskopot or proskopto. In its literal use, pictures a traveler who bumps against an obstacle and is caused to stumble. So I'm trying to let you see literally what we have here. Most of the New Testament words, proskopto or kopto, describes a figurative stumbling. As here in Romans, where Paul describes Israel stumbling over the spiritual stone. However, the word kapto, is used 8 times in the New Testament. I've written them out so that you want to write them down, you can do so. Matthew 4:6, Matthew 7:27, Luke 4:11, John 11:9, our passage, Romans 9:32, Romans 14:21, and 1 Peter 2:8. Now those are the 9 times, no, 8 times, excuse me, that the word proskopto is used in the New Testament. Some of you are saying, repeat that please, Matthew 4:6, Matthew 7:27, Luke 4:11, John 11:9, our passage, Romans 9:32, Romans 14:21, and 1 Peter 2:4. It isn't necessary for me to share this with you, but those of you who are interested in the Old Testament passages, the word is used 9 times in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. I'm not going to give you those, but I just wanted you to know that it's there. This verse of Scripture says, because not of faith, but as of works. Kapto means to cut, to strike, to smite, to cut off. Intrinsically, which means there's no direct object, it means bump, slip, fall, perish. It says that they stumbled at the stumbling stone. What is interesting about the last word in this verse is that stumbling stone, or stone of stumbling, means that these individuals became annoyed, to be enraged, to experience displeasure. What I'm trying to do is to let you see that when they looked at the plan, they said, that's not what we thought it was going to be. That's not the way we feel it should be. We'll just reject it. The reason I point that out to you is because that's the way people are today. When you and I present the plan of salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, people will say to you, oh yes, that's okay, but let me tell you something. There needs to be added to that, and then they add. Not so. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to get out of fellowship by getting mad at the people who think this way, but I get disgusted at those who become annoyed at God's plan. This word stone of stumbling here emphasizes that these individuals became annoyed. They became enraged. It says the stumbling stone means that they experienced something that was displeasure to them. You know why it's displeasure to people today? Because they don't like God's plan? It's because they want to emphasize the human plan. It's an emphasis upon humanism. It's an emphasis upon what I can do. I'm going to get there. I'm doing the best I can. I've turned over a new leaf at the beginning of this year. I want you to know God's pleased with me because of how good I am. And the Scripture says, there's none good, not one, none righteous, not one. Oh, my. Well, don't let me get too carried away there. On the screen now, you see another picture. This picture is an emphasis upon the cross, the cornerstone, an emphasis upon the age of grace, the church age. I'm aware of the fact that there are those who divide the dispensations in various ways, and I'm not getting into all that now other than to tell you that we look at it simply from a 4-point viewpoint rather than 6, but that's okay. The reason why I have this particular transparency is because it shows number 6 as the age of grace. We show that as number three. If you'll notice, I wrote a little three out there. We have an emphasis here upon the fact that Jesus Christ came during the age of Israel. He died in the age of Israel, was buried in the age of Israel, came forth out of the grave in the age of Israel, 30 AD, Pentecost, the church age began. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. At Pentecost, Jesus Christ came, the foundation became the foundation of the church. So you have there an emphasis upon the fact that there's coming a day when the rapture will occur. 1 Thessalonians 4. The Apostle Paul is saying to those believers in Thessalonica who were concerned about loved ones who had died, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which remain in our lives shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. How fantastic that scripture is. Do you realize that our loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord, either their body has been cremated or their body has been placed in the grave, gone back to the dust, they're not there. If people tell me that they're going to go out to the graveyard to visit their relative, I'm here to tell you that they're not going to find them out there. That's not where they are. Very, very, very seldom do I go back to the cemetery in Damon, Texas, where my parents are buried. Why? Because I'm indifferent to them? No. Do I go to where my mother-in-law and father-in-law are buried? No. Am I indifferent to them? No. They're not there. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which remain are alive. That means if our Lord should come now, you and I sitting in this auditorium, it's going to be an interesting experience indeed. Boy, you're going to leave this place in a hurry. Your clothes will drop to the floor there. Your body is going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. How fantastic. You're not going to be embarrassed either. Not one iota. To be absent from this body, to be the recipient of a glorified spiritual resurrection body in the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, God has wonderful things prepared for us. How we need to rejoice over it. Literally, the word stumbling stone means to strike, to dash against. Intrinsically, it means to stumble up against, which means bump, slip, fall, suffer, perish. The reason I gave you that is because an intransitive verb simply means that there does not have to be, as we all know, an object. Do we understand that from the English and the Greek? Literally, the word means to strike, to dash against, but intrinsically, it means bump, slip, fall, perish. Proskopto means to give offense, to cause displeasure, to take offense, to be annoyed or enraged. I've repeated this several times, but the reason I do so is because I want you to see that these individuals, Paul says, they had a knowledge, but not according to God's truth. Doubtless the analogy of the race continues to influence Paul's thought. Absorbed in their own efforts, the Israelites did not recognize Christ Jesus, the stone of their prophetic scripture. the sure foundation for their faith and life. And they fell headlong over him. God's rejection of Israel was not arbitrary, but was based on Israel's rejection of God's way of gaining righteousness. Did you hear that? I've been studying this, and I've gotten into some verses of Scripture that are startling to me. In relationship to God's judicial thoughts, judgment, we have the opinion that God is a God of love and tenderness and kindness, and there's not a bit of judicial concepts in His being, but we don't understand it if we draw that conclusion. What did our Lord do? Our Lord gave these unbelieving Jews 40 more years of grace. He gave them everything that they needed. And you understand, and I understand, that the gift of tongues, a legitimate, bona fide spiritual gift, was to present the gospel on Pentecost in the various languages where people could understand the message of God's salvation. But also a warning to let them know that coming discipline was at hand. 40 years of grace. And I see it mentally, and I want you to see it. The reason why I'm pointing this timeline out over and over again, I want you to see Israel. I want you to see the birth of Christ. I want you to see Pentecost. I want you to see the timeline. We've tried to spell out the various books of the New Testament, when they were written. I want you to see, for instance, the book of James in 45 A.D., the other books of the New Testament, all the way over to the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, that takes us all the way over to 90 A.D., 95 A.D., 96 A.D. I'm not going to argue with all the various theologians and philosophers over these various dates. I'm just trying to point out something to you. I want you to see the pre-canon and the post-canon period of time. What does that mean? Pre-canon means the time before the canon was consummated. Post-canon means after the canon was consummated. Pre-canon means all this time that you see on the insert of your bulletin today, these books of the New Testament, God gave various individuals the opportunity to present how fantastic it is, and the writings of these books by the Spirit of God through various individuals in the pre-canon period of time. The reason for the various spiritual gifts, some of those gifts were designed specifically for that pre-canon period. Some of those gifts were designed for the pre-canon period before 70 A.D. and the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jews. If you can understand this, you'll have an entirely different attitude toward so many ideas that are being presented today in the field that is known as the charismatic movement. You and I need to become aware of what God's Word teaches. And we need to learn about the spiritual gifts. We need to have a timeline in our minds. We need to understand Pentecost, the church age, the writings of the various books of the New Testament, how God used the Apostle John out there on the Isle of Patmos, with the last book, the book of Revelation, and the date of that book, and the finalization of the canon of Scripture. Now, I'm aware of the fact that I'm giving some information now, but I want you to see that I believe that you and I need to be able to see some things in relationship to the pre-canon and the post-canon period of time. The very things that caused those unbelieving Jews to stumble causes people to stumble today. The very things that caused them to stumble causes people to stumble today. What did I read? Let me read it again. I can testify, Paul said, about those Jews. They're zealous. They're enthusiastic for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. Where do you and I get our knowledge? From God's Word. Is there any other place to try to find it? No. I get mad, upset, disturbed at people today who emphasize to me, the Bible is wonderful, but it's important for us to be able to take and add some other things. Don't add anything else. Don't take anything away from it. It is what it is. It's God's Word. It's God's plan for us. And we better accept it and not reject it. They had a zeal. Who cares about anyone's zeal? They had a zeal for God. Do y'all feel a little bit of sarcasm here? Their zeal is not based on knowledge. But let me read the next verse, Romans 10:3. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. Cannot be plainer than that. They did not submit to God's righteousness. It's dangerous. It is dangerous not to submit to God's righteousness. And that's one of the things that I'm learning right now, because I'm trying to see, and I just mentioned it a few moments ago, and I'm referring to it again, and I'll tell you more about it as I know more about it. God is not only a God of love, God has some thoughts in relationship to judicial accomplishments. Back to my points. Number 9. Well, you say, well, where were we the first 8? Okay. Number 1, there are 2 spiritual buildings in history. You got it? Number 2, believers who are a part of that superstructure or either of those of the 2 buildings will never be disappointed. Number 3, God's plan in every dispensation is beginning with faith alone in Christ alone. No other way. Number 4, salvation can never be lost, canceled, or reversed. Number 5, Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, the chief cornerstone, is the foundation of these 2 invisible buildings. Number 6, the church at the present time is in the process of construction. Number 7, when the rapture or resurrection of the body of Christ occurs, the church will become a spiritual temple for all eternity. Number 8, Israel also has Jesus Christ as its foundation. But because Israel rejected Jesus Christ at the first advent, that construction has been halted. Now that takes us back to where we were. 9. When the church is removed, that's the rapture, this construction will resume of Israel with the believers of the tribulation and the millennium. In coming days, it's going to be our privilege to deal with this tribulation and even the millennium. When the church is removed, point 9, the construction will resume with believers of the tribulation and the millennium. Now, number 10. At the end of the millennium, those who are part of Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. At the end of the millennium, those who are part of Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. Please stay with me a few more minutes. Number 11. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. at the first advent. You've heard this four or five times now. Number 11, at the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. Number 12, but at Pentecost, Jesus Christ became the foundation for the church. Number 13, during the church age, that's where we are right now, Israel has a foundation, but an incomplete superstructure. During the church age, Israel has a foundation, but an incomplete superstructure. You can see that on the diagram which we have on the screen. Number 14, in God's grace, God gave those Jews, as I've said over and over again, 40 years after Pentecost to get into that new superstructure of the church, but they didn't do it. Please stay with me. Number 15. After that, the Jews came under what we know as a cycle of discipline. When Titus and the legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jews, I would encourage you to get on the internet and look up the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. I think you'd find it interesting. The cycle of discipline when Titus and the legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jews. I'm amazed as I study that. I see a destruction there that you and I perhaps never think about. Of people being killed and being stacked up by body, up on a mountainside, if you sort of speak, describe it that way, to the point that the blood flows, and as the bodies are cast up there, and the blood is flowing, the bodies slip down through the blood. I'm just trying to let you get a little mental picture. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to understand some things. The cycle of discipline. The legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jews. Number 16. During that grace period, 40 years, they were warned by the temporary gift of tongues of impending discipline. Give me a few more moments, please. I've got to get this to you. Today, Jews are no longer to look to Jerusalem, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 18, believing Jews of today become a part of the church, not Israel. They become a part of the royal family of God forever. I've already emphasized that. The reason I'm going more rapidly now is because I want to give you these last two points, 19 and 20. And on Wednesday night, we're going to come back and get into this again. Number 19, in the resurrection, ascension, and session, Jesus Christ is the starting point for the spiritual building of Israel. The Jews had every opportunity to understand the first advent from their rituals. Most of us, when I say these next words, will remember. You've heard them many times. Every week on the Sabbath, they had what we know as Shema, Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Akav. You've heard that, haven't you? What does that mean from the Hebrew or Aramaic? Hear, O Israel, Jehovah is God, Jehovah is unique. Eloheinu means deity of Christ in hypostatic union. Akav refers to His humanity in hypostatic union. We'll come back to talk about that again. Number 20. The meaning of this phrase, which I've just given you, celebrates the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, undiminished deity, true humanity, in one person forever, the foundation for the new spiritual building called Israel. Oh, how fantastic God's Word is. This verse of Scripture says, they didn't accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because It was not a faith that they were placing. It was of works. And as a result of their placing their trust and confidence in their own human achievements and activities, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. How tragic, how sad. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful indeed today for Jesus Christ, the only one who can give salvation. And yet to many people today, He has been and is the stumbling stone, the stumbling over. They don't want to go His way. They want to choose some other way. Some are seeking to choose the way of the church or some church ritual or trying to keep the Ten Commandments or trying to be good. Whatever way it is, it's the wrong way because Jesus said, I'm the way. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask that even now, at this moment, at this very moment, there will be those who will trust You. Realizing that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will accept You even now. And we thank You for Your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
The people of His pasture. He is our